We gather today to give thanks for and to grieve the death of Marilyn Louise Nolte, beloved wife, mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, friend, doula, artist, professional photographer, seer of beauty and potential in the things that others discarded, in other words, garbage collector, and so much more. Our lament is that even though she had a very full second life, living in the shadow of cancer since 1990, we still feel that she left us much too soon. Today we remember and celebrate a very ordinary but extraordinary person in the ways that each of us remember her. We trust that we will find comfort in our sorrow. We will also hear from our faith. That's why we sing, we pray, we hear scripture and reflect on it, for us to realize that this mystery of life and eternal life is much bigger than Marilyn or any of us here today, even as we engage in the eternal now. In her very intentional journey of dying, Marilyn summoned me, as she did others of you, to say goodbye. Through my tears, I offered these words a friend had shared with me from the pen of theologian Frederick Buechner, who writes, and I quote, "When you remember me, it means that you have carried something of who I am with you, and that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you summon me back in your mind, even though countless years and miles stand between us. It means that if we meet again, you will know me. It means that even after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. For as long as you remember me, I am never entirely lost." End of quote. Marilyn, we see your face, we hear your voice, and we smile through our tears. We join together as a community bonded together by the mark Marilyn left on our lives. On behalf of Larry and Brad and Nicole, Jill and Angelo, Todd and Jess, and these precious grandchildren, thank you all for coming. Thank you for being a people that show up to offer stories and laughter and memories so that we can carry Marilyn in our hearts as long as each of us have memory. Larry and the family are all so grateful for the ways that you have sent cards and emails and Facebook and Instagram responses, food, flowers, and kind words of appreciation for what Marilyn has meant to you in these years. The love that you have shown has been a great comfort and support to the family. Personally, I knew Marilyn for many years, first as a friend to my parents-in-law in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then the past 8.5 years as her pastor. I knew how much she loved you, Larry, her beloved partner of nearly 50 years, and her dear children and grandchildren, recently going down into your basement, seeing that wall of fame, pictures that she had taken of all of the children and grandchildren through the years. I invite all of you to continue to walk with Larry and the family as they walk through this loss and work to find their balance again. To the Nolte and to the Pfeiffer family and extended family, let the love and the care of this community hold you tenderly in the days to come. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, source of all life and love, as we have gathered to remember and celebrate the life of Marilyn and to bear witness to the hope of resurrection in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for Marilyn's life and for everything in her that was good and beautiful and faithful. Gathered here this afternoon, we remember the slenderness of the thread which separates life from death and the finality with which it has been broken. Help us to remember that on both sides of that division of life and death, we are still surrounded by your love. We thank you for the many gifts shared, for the love and laughter and all the fond memories that cannot be taken from us. In you may we find our peace, and may your presence be ever felt more clearly these days. We pray in the name of the Christ, the source of all life, and the one who has overcome death. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and turn to number 327 in your blue hymnal worship book, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Psalm 23. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the water of the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil.
My cup runs over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Take your blue hymnal worship book and turn to number 615. Shall we gather at the river?
I would like to share a few scriptures with you this afternoon. Marilyn asked me a couple of weeks ago if I could read some scriptures at her funeral, and at that point I was thinking, I don't know if I can do this because I really was not ready to let go, but here we are, so I would just like to read those on her behalf. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear heat when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. And this is the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 1 to 9. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God."
So, our friend, cousin, aunt, sister, mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, wife, Marilyn, has gone on ahead of us. She has been transformed from this life to the next. Her human body, which was a dwelling place for God, has served its purpose, and her spirit now has joined the cloud of witnesses and saints and angels who surround us all. Marilyn died in the same way that she lived, with intention, honesty, courage, and generosity. She inspired us once again in these last weeks of her life. She planned most of this day, about 9 months ago, actually, and then she picked up securing all of the details at the beginning of her last weeks. She knew what she wanted to take place in this service, and so now we all get to benefit from her careful worship planning yet one more time. A couple of things she insisted on: that the service not be longer than an hour, and that there were not to be any little ham sandwiches and potato salad at the reception following. So as you probably have already noticed, you're all invited to an ice cream social following the service in honor of the one who resisted doing anything the same old way just because that's how it's usually done, and in honor of the one who loved ice cream. She also said she didn't want the obituary to say anything about going home to the arms of Jesus. She said, just say, I died. Her honesty was sometimes shocking, edgy much of the time. That obituary thing was just one of her pet peeves, of which she had a few. Certainly not a reflection of her relationship with God or Jesus. The depth of her spirituality was evident in how she lived these last 5 weeks of her life. When she knew that she was going to leave life as she had known it for 71 years. And she was not afraid. Very curious, but not afraid. The only fear that she expressed was a fear of having a lot of pain because she had watched both of her parents suffer from pain in their last days. So we are all so grateful for the miracle and the gift that she really did not have a lot of pain as the cancer grew in her body. Marilyn was much more comfortable reflecting her relationship to God and God's creation through the use of images, more than she was through the use of words. Those of you from her church know well the amazing visuals that she created to communicate the message of the morning service. And the images that we hope we get to see sometime today in slides just show and reflect the keen eye that she had for beauty, and which is all evidence of her attentiveness and appreciation for God's amazing work in the world. She was careful not to use well-worn cliches about God and about what God does or doesn't do. She never claimed to know things that she didn't know, especially about God. She sent me a text in that first week that she knew she was going to die, and it said, "You've always said that I was competitive. Well, I get to see the mystery before you do." And indeed she did. I really think that being diagnosed with cancer in her 40s left her much less sure about how God moves in this world and in us, but perhaps more sure that God can be trusted deeply to be with us, especially when we suffer, especially when the hard times come. That early diagnosis left her with a resolve to live life with intentionality and purpose. It left her with a desire to keep close connections with her family and her friends. Maybe it was what gave her her compulsion to value many things that the rest of us would just throw away. I truly believe that many of the qualities that we loved and admired in Marilyn were a direct outcome of the pain and the helplessness that she experienced when she was diagnosed with cancer in her 40s. Somehow she made peace with her body and decided to live, and to live with love as her guide. The picture that Jeremiah the prophet paints of those who trust in God is wonderful in describing Marilyn. Those of you who have been close to her as she faced into cancer treatments over these past 2 years know well of her return again and again to the still waters of God's promise to be with her, to watch over her, to take care of her, and to help her with the next step. I'm sure she begged God to heal her as well, as we all did. But the fact that the cancer didn't go away did not shake her trust in the one who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. Her courage, good humor, patience, well, maybe not patience, her gracious spirit speaks volumes about God in us and in this world, particularly with those who suffer. Listen to Jeremiah again. Those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by water, sending out their roots by the stream. They shall not fear when heat comes, and their leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, they are not anxious, and they do not cease to bear fruit. Jeremiah's words suggest that it isn't so important the kind of tree we are as where we are planted, how close and how connected we are to a good water source. A good water source makes it possible for a tree to flourish in the wet season, but also to survive in the dry season. A good water source makes it possible to keep bearing fruit, even in a drought, when life is hard. Scripture repeatedly describes the Spirit using the metaphor of flowing water, or even a spring of water gushing up inside of us. I suspect that Marilyn knew that her little life was part of this much bigger stream in the universe. Quoting Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest whom I consider to be a wise guide for our days, he writes, "Faith is trusting the big river of God's providential love, which is to trust the visible embodiment, Jesus, the flow, the Holy Spirit, and the source itself, God. This is a divine process that we don't have to change, coerce, or improve upon. We just need to allow and enjoy it. And that takes immense confidence, especially when we're hurting." End of quote. My sense is that Marilyn deeply trusted in that big river of God's love to carry her when she was hurting. And like the tree planted by the water, she never stopped bearing fruit, that's for sure. She was a creator of many beautiful things and many beautiful relationships, as you well know. She especially loved to make new things out of old things. And she loved to find things that other people discarded. As a family, we benefited from this in her many times over. She found amazing things and often passed them along to us. Not everything she found and drug home was amazing, right, Larry? But it wasn't unusual to find something somewhere around the house after Marilyn left, like an ugly lawn ornament or a stash of magazines that, you know, we normally wouldn't see. This spring, after she was sick again, when Dale and Joyce visited overnight, the next morning, Marilyn sent Larry down into her basement studio to find the large letter P that she had found on the street somewhere. So Larry dutifully found the letter and propped it up on Dale and Joyce's windshield, as she had instructed. There were always these kinds of little games going on. She loved the MCC gift and thrift store here in Souderton. And she gave back to them by using her photography skills to help market the store. She made regular visits there. At one point, she told me she had to limit herself to only go on Tuesdays. So it was a win-win for her and the store. If we found her wearing something particularly attractive or a little edgy, we knew better than to ask where it came from. You know, it's not terribly unusual for someone to love creating new things out of old, but Marilyn routinely turned her creations into a business. I don't know whether you noticed how many different business cards were back there on the table. She made connections with some local gift shops, as well as one in Philly and one in Lancaster, where she took her creations, or sometimes just things that she had found, to sell. Dream Catchers is a great example of her repurposing something. In this case, it was turning old doilies and ribbons and lace, which she could get for pennies at the thrift store, into something really beautiful, like this in front of me. These are dream catchers, which originate with Native Americans in our country. The practice for some Native peoples was to hang them by the beds of their children to catch the bad dreams, as a spider web catches insects, and allow the good dreams to pass through and flow down through the feathers and the ribbons to bless and protect the sleeping child. Not only did she make these to sell in her favorite gift shops, but she offered classes to teach others how to make them, sharing with them the stash of stuff that she had collected. You know, as I was reflecting on this, I realized how Marilyn herself was a dream catcher in so many ways. First of all, she caught her own good dreams and made them happen, like wishing she could play a recorder. So what did she do? She used my recorder for a while till she learned it and then got her own recorder and started a recorder group. So that she was one of the founding members of the folks who played for us today. You know, we all have dreams of things we'd like to do, but Marilyn repeatedly turned her dreams into reality. Becoming a doula, a birthing assistant, is another great example of this. She herself loved giving birth. Not something we all share. So she turned her own experience of positive birthing into helping others realize that same kind of a dream. Marilyn was a dream catcher. She was a birth assistant for over 300 women in the past 25 years. Plus, she volunteered here in Souderton to help teenage mothers learn how to care for their babies. There are many of you here today who experienced her calming presence at this significant moment in your lives, the birth of your children. Some of you took the risk of a home birth or a more natural birth because of having a dream catcher there by your side. She loved being there with you and for you. Marilyn somehow also noticed and caught the dreams of many of us even before we knew something was taking shape within us. Daryl remembers his sister's strong encouragement to go to college, and she was the one who loaned him money to buy his first car. Most significantly in my own life was her comment, just kind of off the cuff one day, that she could imagine me serving on the pastoral team at Community Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, if we ever lived there again. Small problem, we weren't living there then, and the chances of us moving there were non-existent at the time. But more than that, I had never heard or dreamed, for that matter, of the word pastor in a sentence describing me. This is an example of when Marilyn was out catching dreams for other people, helping them to imagine and explore and act on their dreams. And I know there are others of you in our family and beyond who have had similar experiences with this woman dream catcher. I cannot finish this eulogy without acknowledging and thanking Marilyn for the many ways in which she kept us connected. She was the one who stayed closely connected with her aunts, her mother's sisters, in these years since Elva's passing. which reminds me of how deeply she missed her mother. Marilyn also instigated getting her two Pfeiffer women cousins together after years of not being together for regular lunches over the past 5 years or so. In fact, she instigated getting all of the Pfeiffer cousins together a few years ago when we hadn't gathered for years. Marilyn made these things priority in her life. Most of us think about it. Marilyn made it happen. Yet more closely, Marilyn needs to be credited for cementing the bond between she and her two brothers, and Larry and Joyce and I. Over the past 10 years, we started having sleepovers at each other's homes, or at least dinner out together every month or so. We could count on Marilyn being the one to remind the rest of us when it was time. And she certainly gets the prize for being the coolest aunt on the earth. She followed each of you nephews and niece, probably more than you even know or care to know. She was intrigued with what each of you was doing with your lives, and I know that many of you and your spouses felt her encouragement and her interest. And she was the one who worked far ahead to make sure that this Pfeiffer clan spent a weekend together. For a long time, it was every year, and now is every couple of years. And at every one of those events, she insisted that there be a family picture. And now we say thank you, Marilyn. She was such a life and energy in the Pfeiffer clan, none of us are quite sure what we're going to do without her. And for Larry and Brad, Jill and Todd, I won't attempt to talk about who Marilyn was. For you and for your spouses and your children, all of these things and more. And you all returned her love in very tangible ways in these last weeks of caring for her. And I'm imagining that through her, you each have in some way experienced the river of life that she swam in, that river of love that she was planted beside, the river that gave her life, beauty, and purpose, and meaning. So when the vacuum of her absence is too much to bear, just go to the river and wade in those waters that sustained her in the dry season. Wade in those waters that made it possible for her to bear fruit even when she lived with a disease that she was told would likely come back. Those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by water, sending out their roots by the stream. They shall not fear when heat comes, and their leaves shall stay green. And in the year of drought, they are not anxious, and they do not cease to bear fruit. We miss you, Marilyn. Yes, you won the race. First one of us to experience the mystery of this new transformed life we all look forward to on the other side.
I invite you to take out your hymnal worship book again and turn to number 336, When Peace Like a River. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Marilyn shared with me on more than one occasion that she could spend an entire day happily working in the privacy and comfort and quiet of her basement, of course, with computer and cell phone nearby. Well, today, Marilyn, we've brought you out of the basement into the light of the presence of so many of your family and friends who have gathered here. We've admired you, Marilyn. We've been impressed by you, your gifts, your abilities, as we've experienced your love, and indeed, who have truly loved you, and I am one. The summer of 1988, I was fortunate enough to become one of Marilyn's pastors here at Satterton Mennonite Church, where she, Larry, Brad, Jill, Todd worshiped and plugged into this community after having left Harrisonburg, Virginia. Now, it was during those days that I, along with many of you, were deeply saddened by her diagnosis of lymphoma. Marilyn would share directly and openly about her personal journey. We were so grateful for positive results from treatment in those days. Now, I could reflect with you about my decision to leave this congregation to complete my studies at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and Marilyn's encouragement and her head start by connecting me to some of the folks at her beloved Community Mennonite Church, about my arrival in that community, and to be sure that I would be welcomed there. Or I could share with you about how, upon my return here to Satterton Mennonite Church, and on November 24th, 1991, upon my ordination here, Marilyn again, from her basement, taking the lead, enabling a beautiful banner and other visuals to make that service very special. She actually created even more community among the, quote, Gospel Herald Sunday School classes. She rallied the troops to work together at those at that project. Of course, many of us know that Marilyn did so much basement work, and she seemed to work best in the basement, quietly, behind the scenes, that would indirectly affect so many larger decisions as she shared her gifts and abilities without fanfare, but with beauty, with love, that was evidenced in all of her beautiful photography, her creative art, her lush gardens, her back lawn, or the beauty of human birth. But today I want to reflect with you on the Marilyn that I came to know in a very significant way. At a point in my own life's journey, when I experienced that gut-wrenching dark night of the soul, it was during a rather difficult time of soul searching that Marilyn was one of the few persons that I turned to. I knew Marilyn would hold confidences, and I knew she could listen and would listen without judgment, that she wouldn't readily offer lots of advice, but she simply became that person present in the struggle. Now, of course, as direct as Marilyn could be, she simply continued to be there, a good listener, validating the struggle without offering quick fixes. Though an occasional word of counsel from her perspective, but offered in love, gentleness, and bathed in much grace and acceptance. I would hope that I've learned from Marilyn the gift of friendship, so that I can indeed be that kind of friend to another. Thanks be to God. Few of you from Perkasie Mennonite Church perhaps know this part of the story, but when I left congregational ministry for hospice chaplaincy work almost 14 years ago now, not only was Marilyn served as a personal reference for my present employer, but on occasion of my rather significant birthday, made PMC members aware that I had a milestone birthday coming up. And she knew that I was kind of looking, shopping for a congregation to plug into. And so on that significant birthday, I received a lot of emails from Perkasie members even one from our own poet, Barbara Schissler, who wrote an original poem for that day, which I still have, by the way. Yes, Marilyn, you served as an evangelist for Percy Mennonite Church from her basement. Today, as we conclude this important time of remembrance, Marilyn, we've brought you out of the basement into the light of the eternal presence of God and into the company of those us in our remembering. Our smiles, our chuckles, and our tears. Marilyn, I trust you're okay with all of this public fanfare. We sorrow our loss today, but we are so grateful for the light of your presence in our lives. Now, as we attempt to go on without your presence, though your spirit indeed will continue to be among us in all of the pretty things, and yes, even in the things that may not catch our eyes, but they would catch Marilyn's. And the possibilities, Marilyn would say, are endless. With a bag and pieces of fabric or something found out by the trash. Thank you, Marilyn, for always believing in me, even when I wasn't so sure that I could believe in myself, or even believe in a God of love who would continue to make use of this motley disciple. So, Marilyn, until I too will be caught up into the mystery that you now know much more fully. Love to you always, your friend.
Marilyn made a great difference in life and in death. She wanted her body donated for medical research through the Human Gifts Registry of Philadelphia. She would encourage any of us here today to consider this option. You can Google it or find it on the web. And many of us also have memories of sharing ice cream, as Jane mentioned, with Marilyn and Larry. She was clear, as Jane already mentioned, that if you came expecting ham sandwiches and potato salad, you're just going to have to go home and find a home. So you're invited to share some of her favorite ice cream and to gather and continue the fellowship, to greet the family if you didn't have an opportunity to do so earlier, to hopefully be able to see images of her amazing art, and to just continue to share stories. But as Larry mentioned to me, one of Marilyn's last quips was, "There's to be no pushing or shoving in the ice cream line." But if you do have further reflections and wish to share them with the family, please note their names and emails on the back of your program. Larry shared some of the reflections that you've already sent, particularly those from nieces and nephews, and I know how much those meant and will be cherished in the days to come. So thank you again for coming and for your love and support. A special thanks on behalf of Perkasie Mennonite Church to Souderton Mennonite Church for hosting and for your wonderful, gracious hospitality here. Pray with me, and then we will sing a final song together. God of mercy, we have looked to our faith to sustain us in this time of sorrow and loss. Grant comfort to the Nolt family, and may they be sustained by their faith and the support of this community. May we all live in the eternal now, assured of God's abiding presence this day and in the life to come. Receive this blessing and benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
I invite you to pull out your insert in your program, in your bulletin, and rise for our sending song.
God be with you.
Family will be ushered out, and then all of you are invited to go through the main doors back behind in the foyer and find your way to the fellowship hall and enjoy ice cream.